This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support.
So if you were with us last week and you heard my sermon, you know that the word that we talked about was justification. The question that we lifted up and answered was how we are made right with God. We identified that we are made right with God not by what we do, but what we put our faith in. That by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. That Jesus has paid the price for our sins on the cross, and because of him, we are free to live as children of God, confident that our salvation is now secure. But it begs the question, what happens next? Once we accept Jesus as our Savior, once we come to him in faith, how then do our lives change? How are we supposed to live and act and think? But fortunately, we have a day like today to remind us what that means and looks like. Today is a day called All Saints Sunday. And it's often misunderstood what in the Lutheran tradition it means to be a saint. See, in many traditions, specifically the Catholic tradition, a saint is someone who is lifted up. A saint is someone who lives an exemplary life. A saint is someone who does something beyond all other people to be elevated to a status that most people don't have. But in the Lutheran tradition, we believe that all people who come to faith in Jesus Christ are saints. That we are made saints not because of what we do, but because Jesus forgives us and frees us from our sins. And when we become saints, we are to engage in the process known as sanctification. And sanctification simply means that once we accept Jesus as our Savior, we are to become more and more like him. We are to become more and more like Jesus, to live our lives more and more, not as we would, but as Jesus would. And it's important to remember this day, All Saints Day, how being a saint and sanctification teaches us that we are part of a bigger story. You see, it's important to remember those who have died, who have gone before us, those who have impacted our lives, not as a way of just grieving, although grieving them is a faithful thing to do, but reminding us that we are part of a bigger story, that we are part of a bigger narrative and plan. And so what I'd like to do the rest of this sermon today is to talk about how being a saint makes us different. How being a saint and sanctification gives us a different perspective of the world around us once we come to faith in Jesus Christ. So there's a few different things that being a saint means and changes our life. So being a saint, first and foremost, means that we know how the story ends. That because of the Bible, because of the promise that Jesus not only died and rose again, but one day will return, we know the end of not only our story, but we know the end of the human story. We know the end of how God will make all things new, how God will do away with evil forever and restore and renew the world and make a new heaven and earth. And knowing the end of the story should change the way that we experience the story that we are living in now. One of the great joys that I have as a parent is to be able to watch movies with my children that meant a lot to me when I was a kid, and being able to sort of see these movies again for the first time. And I've been able to do this with a few different movies, but the movies that I'm watching now with my children are the Star Wars movies. The Star Wars movies are movies that I watched as a kid. I became familiar with Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi and Princess Leia. They were a part of my childhood as they were many people's childhood. But the truth of the matter is, because I've seen these movies over and over again, they sort of lost their effect on me. But not so with my two boys. When I sit down with my two boys, it's like I'm watching them again for the first time. For one simple reason, they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen to Luke Skywalker. They don't know what's going to happen to Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader. And so I'm able to watch and experience it with them, and they ask me questions, and their eyes are filled with wonderment. But at certain times, their eyes are also filled with fear and trepidation. Fear and trepidation because they don't know what's going to happen next. They don't know if their favorite characters, the heroes of the story, will survive until the end. But I do. I know what happens at the end of the story. I know that at the end of the story, good prevails over evil. And so the way I watch the movie with them is different than the way they watch the movie. The way I watch the movie, I'm much less anxious. I'm much more filled with a sense of peace. Not because the same dangers and pitfalls are there for the characters. No, it's because I know the end of the story. I know that despite the obstacles of the many, many characters in the story, that in the end, the heroes win. That in the end, good prevails over evil. And see, being a saint, coming to faith in Jesus Christ, means that you know the end of the story too. You know that your story is going to be filled with joys and challenges, ups and downs, opportunities and failures. But you can live with a sense of peace even in the midst of failure. You can live with a sense of peace even in the midst of setbacks because you know the end of the story. The book of Psalms teaches us that God is with us every hill and every valley. That God walks with us through the most difficult times, even times when death is too real and too present in our life. But we can have peace, we can have hope, we can have joy, even in the midst of these difficult circumstances, because we know the end of the story. We know that God turns all pain and all sadness into joy. The second thing that being a saint helps us understand is it helps us know our purpose. It helps us know that our heavenly purpose gives us an earthly purpose. It helps us know who we are and what we are called to do and be in this world. You see, ever since my boys were young, I've dropped them off at school on my way to coming to church. And every single day I take them to school, I get them off in the, I line up in the drop-off line. I wait for a spot to open up in the curb in front of their school, and I pull up and I drop them off. And usually I get out of the car and I come on the sidewalk with them and I make sure their coats are on and make sure that their backpacks are on. And then I say the same thing to them every single day. Every single day, ever since they were dropped off, since they were small, since they first went to kindergarten, I say the same thing to both of them. I say, remember, I love you, God loves you too, and make good decisions. Remember, I love you, God loves you too, and make good decisions. And then they go to school and they do different things. They have different opportunities and challenges. Some days they have good days. Some days they have bad days. But at the end, they come home to a family and a father who loves them. I kind of think that's how God wants us to view and understand our life. That when we are put into this world, that when we are baptized, when we come to faith, it's kind of like God dropping us off at school. God drops us off at this world and in this life, and he tells us, remember that I love you and make good decisions. And throughout our life, we are called to make different decisions. We are called to do different things. We are called to impact the world in his name and for his purpose and his glory. But despite our obstacles, despite our joys and challenges in this earth, in the end, we return home. In the end, we return home to our Father in heaven who loves us. We return home to our heavenly family where loved ones who have gone before us wait for us. See, too often we think of this world as the end-all, be-all. We think of this world as everything and anything, but God is reminding us that we are here for a short visit. We are here for a purpose, and that purpose is to do his will. That purpose is to be his people. The third and the final thing that we are called to do that being a saint reminds us of is it reminds us that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. So the scriptures say that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses and that we are called to run the race set before us. When I think of that idea and that image of being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, I'm reminded of a very special gift that I once received, and I'd like to share it with you right now. See, this is my hymn. And this hymnal is just like every other hymnal that's in the pew of this church, except there's a couple important differences. The first is this hymnal has my name on it because I received it when I was ordained as a pastor 11 years ago. When I was ordained as a pastor, I was ordained at a place called Synod Assembly, where hundreds of different leaders and teachers and lay people gathered together to make decisions of the church. And before I was ordained, before I was given this hymnal, different pastors in Northern Illinois had the opportunity to write messages, to write words of encouragement in this hymnal. And so when I open to a particular hymn or I go to this first, the front of the book, I'm constantly surrounded every time I open this hymnal with reminders, with words of encouragement. Now, sadly, some of these people that have written in this hymnal have passed on to God's eternal care. Sad for myself, but not for them, of course. But every time I read their words, I'm reminded about the things that they taught me. I'm reminded by the ways that they inspired me. I am reminded about the ways they helped me when I was a young pastor first starting out. Because I quickly learned when I first started out as a pastor that there was a lot I knew, but there was a lot more I didn't know. And so I had these people come alongside me and encourage me and witness what it means to be a pastor, a minister for the sake of the gospel. If you search your hearts and your minds, you will realize that you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses as well. That there are people in your life who inspired you, who taught you the faith, who lived the example of Jesus Christ by being one of his disciples. And now it's your turn to do the same. Now it's your turn to be a light of the world. Now it's your turn to inspire others around you and to run the race set before you. You see, being a Christian is a lot like being in a relay race. See, there are faithful people who have come before us, and they've sort of handed the baton to us. And now it's our turn to run the race set before us. Now it's our turn to run the race that Jesus calls us to run it. It's our turn to do our part, to live our life, to do our will. And then when we die and when we pass to heaven, we hand the baton off to someone else. And that baton keeps getting passed and passed and passed until the final leg of the race, the anchor, if you will, who is Jesus Christ himself, who will run that final leg of the race for all of us and once again make a new heaven and a new earth, who will come down and wipe every tear from every eye and restore heaven and earth to its glory. You see, being a saint simply doesn't mean remembering those who have gone before us, but it means living here and now, understanding that it's our turn and our time to live as Jesus would want us to live. I'd like to close today's sermon by sharing a quote with you. It's a quote from Martin Luther. And Martin Luther said this: "You must make a distinction between the saints who are dead and those who are yet living. The living saints are your neighbors, the naked, the hungry, the thirsty, poor people, and we are called to help them. That is where you are, to apply your works. There use your tongue that you defend, draw near, advise, and cover them with your coat, and help them and uphold their honor." See, all people are precious in God's sight. All people are God's children in need of hearing his gospel and his promise. So may you and may I be God's people. May we be sanctified to be more like Jesus Christ. May we live our time, run our race, and do our part, knowing that we are part of a bigger story, knowing that we are part of a bigger promise, a promise that has come before us and a promise that lasts after us and through us through all eternity. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder, for this hope, for this gospel of what it means to run the race set before us. Help inspire us to works of service, works in your name that may glorify you and uplift and uphold your people. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at @GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.